The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll talk about Starbucks at Disney World. That's coming up on this episode 166 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. I have to say that slowly or it all slurs together. And the creator of Prep School Travel Agency. Thank you for being here for episode 166. We will dive into the main topic in just a few minutes as usual. Before we do that, just a reminder to follow on social media, pick a platform, look for WDW Prep School, and find me there. One of those is the Facebook page where we recently passed 60,000 people, and it's always a good conversation there. I've been uploading videos, and every month we have a Q&A. When I first started doing Q&As, it was just a random thing that I would do on a Sunday night. And I did it, I think, by myself for an hour on Sunday night. And I kept doing it, and everyone kept expecting it. So then it became a thing every Sunday for an hour. And then I added help so that I had somebody else to help me answer questions. And then it became monthly for an hour. And now it's 30 minutes a month. And in reality, it's not 30 minutes a month on the Facebook page. We only accept questions during that 30 minutes. But we spend hours going back to try to get answers to everyone who asked questions during that time. And so it's usually a couple hundred questions asked in that amount of time. And it's always nice to stay connected to people and know what everyone wants to know, or to hear what everyone wants to know, and keeps us on our toes. So this month's Q&A just happened recently. It's the second Sunday of every month, by the way, if you happen to want to join. And so this month's Q&A that we just recently had lots of good questions. So I thought I would pick out some of the questions that were asked and just talk about them here in case it's something that you wondered as well. Here's one asked by Elizabeth. She said, do you have thoughts on the new fast passes that you can purchase now that club level can buy them 90 days out? Do you think that will significantly impact the ability to get top ride fast passes 60 days out? And my answer to this is I don't believe this is going to significantly impact anybody else's ability. But any competition you add to fast passes is obviously going to make it more difficult. I just think the number of people that are taking advantage of this is small in comparison to Disney recently added some offsite resorts to be able to get them 60 days out. So now you're in competition with those people. So the people buying them 90 days out, I can't remember if we've talked about this on the podcast before, but they can purchase 3 fast passes. They can be in any park. They can be for any ride. So you could literally go, like, say I want all 3 of the headliners at Epcot. You can purchase those 3. It's $50 a day per person. It's primarily people staying club level. It also applies to Copper Creek cabins and Polynesian bungalows. So, you know, the higher end accommodations. And when you have a trip that expensive, it's not a huge, you know, extra thing to add $50 per person to guarantee fast passes. It also gives you fast passes to nighttime shows if you wanted, that kind of stuff. So anyway, I think the number of people doing it is actually small. I'm more concerned about the offsite people, and I have mixed feelings about that. But I think in terms of competition, that's more of a concern than the club level people being able to purchase them. Although it is interesting that this is the first time fast passes have been purchasable. So we'll have to see if that expands beyond just this offering. There were also lots of questions about Toy Story Land and if we knew when they were going to open and how to plan for the rides and all this kind of stuff. And I understand why people would want to know this, but we just don't know the answers yet. Hit the microphone there. Disney World did announce Pandora last year at the beginning of February. So hopefully not too much longer for us to wait. And then we will know, you know, if we're going to have tiers and when the official opening date is and that kind of stuff. So stay tuned for that. Another question was about the best place to watch the Festival of Fantasy 3 o'clock parade at Magic Kingdom. And this was something that I realized I hadn't talked about in a little while. I think I used to do it all the time. But I wanted to take the time to just mention, in case anyone was wondering that on the podcast, that my favorite place to watch Festival of Fantasy is underneath the train station at the front of Magic Kingdom. And the reason for this, there's a couple of reasons. One is that when you're under the train station, you are out of the sun. That's always been my least favorite part about a midday parade, is that you're out in the sun. And most of the year at Disney World, it's so hot. And so when you're waiting for it to start, it's just not practical to be out in the sun. So if you're under the train station, then you're out of the sun. And the second good reason to do it is that when the parade ends, there's just this phenomenon of people following parades. You know, it's a big horde of people that just follow the end of it wherever it's going. But if you're at the front of the park, you can choose to either exit if you want to leave the park at that time and you'll be ahead of those crowds, or you can just walk up the steps to the top of the train station and take the train to the back of the park to either Frontierland or to Fantasyland, and you can avoid the crowds that way. So I like being able to have a really nice exit, and I like being able to be out of the sun up there. So I think that'll be all of the Q&A questions that I read for today. But if you would like to join us for our next Q&A, it is set for February 11th, and that is at 8:30 p.m. Central, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and we'd love to see you there. And lastly, in housekeeping, I wanted to do a few hellos to some special listeners. I want to say hello to Hannah, Tyler, and Zachary, who listen. And I think you might have another Disney trip in your future. And I hope that you like that and participate in the planning for that as well. I also want to say hello to Sam and Owen G, who are getting ready to leave on their trip this weekend with their family. Have a great time, Gabbard family. And lastly, I want to say hello to Riley C. from Las Vegas, who listens to the podcast on the morning drive to school. So hey guys, thanks for joining. I'm happy to have you. When I first started the podcast, I never imagined that kids would be listening, but I'm thrilled that it is that way and that kids can participate in the process as well. Before we jump into today's main topic, I did want to mention that this episode happens to be sponsored. You all know, if you've listened to me for a while, that I've never had a sponsor, but when this company contacted me, I thought, yeah, this is a good fit and they get really great reviews. And so I wanted to mention it to you. The company is called Picnic, P-I-C-N-I-I-C, and it's an app that acts as a family assistant that can help families become more organized, productive, and connected. It is available for iOS and Android. It's also available on the web, and they have wanted to partner with me because they recognize the audience as being tech-savvy parents, which is fantastic. And if you would like to look at getting this app, you can look for the link in the show notes, or you can search for Picnic, P-I-C-N-I-I-C. Now back to the show. So for today's main topic, I wanted to talk about Starbucks at Disney World. This doesn't seem like it would be a main topic. It's just coffee that you're used to at Disney World. But every time I have done anything related to Starbucks at Disney World, whether it was posting on Facebook or one of the images from my October trip that got the most likes on Instagram happened to be a picture of Starbucks drinks and treats from Disney World. And when I did the giveaway in October, when I got the mugs from all the Starbucks locations, and I only told podcast listeners about it, there were 1,500 entries in just a day or two. So I know there's a lot of interest in Starbucks at Disney World, so I wanted to go ahead and dive into that today, just to tell you five things that you should know about Starbucks at Disney World that is a little different than what you might be used to at home. So let's start with the name. Starbucks at Disney World in the parks is not called Starbucks at Disney World. And that's because Disney World wants the the locations to be in the theming of that park. And so people will walk right by it and may not even realize it's a Starbucks. I was at Magic Kingdom waiting for the park to open one time. I had a Starbucks drink in my hand and somebody said, "Where'd you get that? I didn't know there was a Starbucks." And there is, they have different names. So at Magic Kingdom, it's Main Street Bakery. At Epcot, it's Fountain View. At Hollywood Studios, it's Trolley Car Cafe. And at Animal Kingdom, it's Creature Comfort. So these are all just their coffee shops or bakeries that happen to have Starbucks treats as well. To make it a little simpler, though, the two Disney Springs locations are actually called Starbucks, and that's because they operate like regular Starbucks, basically. But when you're in the park, you're not going to see on the map something called Starbucks. So just a heads up that they have different names. If you want to see the locations and on a map and get a picture of the storefront, the link in the show notes will have that. It's a post that we wrote about Starbucks at Disney World, and you can go and get the visuals for those locations. The second thing to know is that you can order Starbucks before the park opens in two of the parks. And that's because when you go to the parks, they will allow you in at least to a certain point before the park is officially fully open. And you may have heard me before in previous podcasts talk about how that's a great time to do other things such as getting photo pass pictures taken. But in two of the parks, the area where you're allowed in happens to include the Starbucks location. So you can grab coffee while you're waiting for the park to fully open. Those two parks are Hollywood Studios and Magic Kingdom, both of which happen to have their Starbucks locations on the main street as you enter and right on the right-hand side. So that's a really good idea if you want to get to the parks early, go in, get lined up, grab your coffee, and then wait for the park to fully open. Number three thing to know is that you can pay for drinks with Disney Dining Plan snack credits, and it's a great use of a snack credit. I know people on the Disney Dining Plan are often trying to maximize those credits to make more financial sense, and this is one way to do that with snack credits. So the reason this is such a good use of a snack credit is that you can add lots of things to your drink, and it's just one snack credit no matter what. If you were paying out of pocket, all of those additions would be more cash out of your pocket. But when it's a credit, it's just a credit. And so you could get the value of a snack credit up to like $9, where normally $5 and more is considered a good value. So if you can get your drink up to $9, then that's a really good use of a snack credit. Of course, outside of the Disney Dining Plan, because most of us or many of us don't use the Disney Dining Plan, you can pay with cash or credit card. Obviously, you can also use Starbucks gift cards, Disney gift cards, the Starbucks app to pay. You can't in the parks use Starbucks reward points or redeem for free drinks, but you can do those things at Disney Springs because, as I mentioned, they're like normal Starbucks locations. The fourth thing is that the menu at Starbucks is a combination of Starbucks and Disney items. So if you're used to having normal things that you order at Starbucks, you can expect to likely find those on the menu at the Disney World locations, but they also have Disney items, in particular specialty cupcakes, which are really delicious, and lots of Mickey-shaped treats. So you'll kind of get the best of both worlds at those locations. Number five, you can purchase exclusive mugs at the Starbucks locations in the parks. These include the You Are Here mugs, which was the giveaway that I did in October. And these are, I happen to really like the illustrations of these. They also have what they call ornament-sized versions of those, or just tiny versions. And they're super cute. I'm not sure if people actually use them as ornaments, but they're just tiny versions of the regular size mugs. They recently also have come out with ceramic mugs that are taller than the You Are Here mugs, but bottom line is that they have exclusive ones for each park. So if you go to Magic Kingdom, you can get a Magic Kingdom You Are Here mug or one of the taller Magic Kingdom ceramic mugs. Same for all the parks. You cannot get them for, you can't go to Magic Kingdom and get like a full set for all four. So when I did the giveaway in October, I had decided early enough in the trip, I was going to get one from each park to do the giveaway. So I had to go to all four parks to do that. And so those are really great souvenirs, especially if you're a coffee or tea or hot chocolate drinker. Every day you could look at your mug and remember your trip. It's a lovely, lovely souvenir. If you happen to be an annual pass holder, you or DVC member, you can get merchandise discounts on those mugs. As per the normal, annual pass holders and DVC members can get discounts on merchandise. And that does apply to the mugs as well, which is super handy, if you, especially if you're going to get the whole set. Yeah, so it's very, very cute souvenir. Maybe I'll do that as a giveaway on a future trip again, because I know that there's a lot of interest. Incidentally, the person who won the giveaway is somebody who was living outside the country, and so that was lovely to be able to send it to a U.S. address that she uses to then forward her mail on to have a little memory of home. So that is everything that I thought you should know about Starbucks at Disney World. As I mentioned, you can get a written version of this in the show notes at the link. I also have a YouTube video. A lot of times the YouTube video isn't exact. The audio is exact between the YouTube video and the podcast, at least for the main topic. This time it's not. It is slightly different. And I've been experimenting a lot with YouTube and getting new camera equipment and editing and that kind of stuff. So if you haven't checked out the YouTube channel, please feel free, because it's a slightly different experience than the podcast. Let's see. What do we have before we wrap it up today? We have a quick tip that was sent in by Christine. And I really like this one. Christine says, I have a quick tip inspired by Kim's trip report, and I want to stop here and just talk about this. So Kim's trip report was the one from December, and I don't think I've mentioned this yet, but there's been a really good response to Kim's trip report. Like, it didn't go perfectly. You know, there was some disappointment and things didn't go the way that she had originally anticipated, but a lot of people learned things from that, and that's really the point. And Kim was obviously able to adjust and, you know, figure things out during her own trip. But I think that when the trips go perfectly, it's fantastic, because, you know, for the people that are on the trip. But it is often helpful to have things that don't go according to plan for us all to learn from. And a lot of you have told me that you learned some things. So that was great. And this quick tip sent in by Christine is another one. It's somebody who sort of learned something or was inspired by Kim's trip report. She says, my kids are similar in age to hers. I have a 2-year-old son and almost 6-year-old daughter. We also wondered if our daughter would be into some of the bigger rides. We knew she would have access to the rider switch for any ride that offers it, as our son would be too little to ride any of those rides. When we decided to have my husband book a fast pass for the rider switch rides, like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and then I, with or without my daughter, depending on how she was feeling, would then ride it using rider switch. My daughter and I booked fast passes for things like character meets, and we paired that with each of the quote unquote big rides that my husband booked. That way our daughter gets the most out of her fast passes, and she can make the call at the time if she wants to join me on the rider switch or not. Of note, a drawback is that my husband may not be with us for the character meetings that only we have fast passes for. So for any character meetings he really wanted to be there for, like Talking Mickey, he booked a fast pass as well so that we wouldn't leave that one to chance. For us, I think this will allow everyone in our family to get the most out of our fast pass allocations. So this is a really great idea. And in case it wasn't clear what Christine was saying, I'll just rephrase it. And she's basically saying that when you have any ride that has a height requirement, they will allow rider switch. Disney says you can use rider switch for other rides as well, but it's kind of a hit or miss on whether or not cast members allow it. So it's safe to say rides with height requirements have rider switch. And that's because if your child's not tall enough to ride, then Disney gives parents, it makes it easier for parents to take turns by giving you a rider switch pass. And to save the most time, the first person riding could have a fast pass. And then the second group that uses the rider switch pass, which allows up to 3 people, can ride it. So in Christine's situation, if her child, six-year-old, was going to be too scared to ride, then the parents would just be taking turns with the kids. So dad would ride and mom would stay with the kids. And then mom would ride and dad would stay with the kids. But if the six-year-old decided that she was brave enough, then she could go, because that rider switch pass allows up to 3 people. So that is a really, really great idea. I always feel for people with kids in this age range, because you're not only, you know, having to come up with touring plans that include things that you think they're going to like, but you have to make fast passes, you know, 30 to 60 days ahead of time if you want to get them. And it's really difficult to know with kids this age. My daughter did not ride a roller coaster till she was 18 years old. My son started riding roller coasters when he was little, and you don't know until you get there. And as you saw in Kim's trip report, you know, there was an unexpected fear, whereas her child wasn't scared on a previous trip and, you know, was scared on most recent trip. You just never know. So this is one way to definitely deal with that. So I appreciate that, Christine. I think that is super helpful. So I think that's going to wrap up episode 166. For more information on this show, please check your podcast app, the show notes in your podcast app, or go to the website, www.prepschool.com. Find podcasts at the top and look for episode 166. Until next time, I will see you on the site.